start this. They allowed the kids to send in questions about God, and the whole youth rally was on the top questions that they had asked. And Kelly and I went down Friday night, and then Stacy Mitchell, I appreciate Stacy and want to thank her for bringing the kids down Saturday, and they were excited. I say that just to say how proud I am of our kids. When I look at the church in the future, I am very encouraged when I see our kids and their desire to grow and their desire to learn about God and Jesus and the church and to make that an important, most important thing in their life. And so we're really blessed here with all our kids, with all our family, all the age groups that are here. I've stressed so many times before you, church, that we are a family, and we're seeing that, aren't we? As years go by, we are seeing the young and the old and the middle age, and that's the way the church is set up. God wanted it to be that way. This morning for our lesson, I want to start with a question, and it brings to mind a metaphor that I want us to think about throughout this lesson. And the question is this: are you a fan of Jesus or a follower of Jesus? Now, there are times that I look back and reflect in my walk with God, and I'm sure you can too, where you realize, you know what, I wasn't really acting like a follower of Jesus in that situation. Or that period of time in my life, I wasn't being a follower of Jesus, a disciple. I was acting more like a fan. And I want you to have that metaphor in your mind, that idea in your mind about a fan or a follower of Jesus. Last words, wonderful noise. Last words are important. I don't know if you can recall a time where you were with somebody who spoke their last words. Maybe it was a relative or somebody, they were at the end of their life, and there's something about last words. If it was your uncle or your mother or your father or a very close friend, when they spoke those last words, you were probably very attentive. Probably, as we say, you took those words to heart, or you took them with you. They were dear to you because they were the final words of that person. What about the final words of Jesus? Now, I don't mean final words before he died. We know our Lord went to the cross. We just commemorated his death. We know he died for our sins. He was buried in the tomb. And we know that on the third day he defeated death. He rose from the grave. Therein lies our hope in the resurrection of Jesus. We know from Scripture that he appeared for a period of time with his followers, and he taught them many things concerning the kingdom. But there was a moment in which he left this earth for a long time. Well, that is until he comes back again, whenever the Lord has set that time up. But what were his final words? And that's what I want to focus on. I want you to turn your Bibles to Matthew's Gospel. It's a very well-known portion of Scripture. We call it the Great Commission, don't we? Get this picture in your mind. Jesus, before he ascended up to the Father, we know by Mark chapter 16 and verse 19 that he was going to ascend back up to the Father to be at the right hand of the throne of God. And this is part of Scripture. It was designated for them to meet at a certain mountain. You'll find that in Mark 16 and verse 19. But I want you to look at chapter 28, starting in verse 18. Jesus said to them, and he spoke to him. Final words. Get that idea in your mind, because these were the final words of our Lord before he went to heaven. He spoke to them and he said, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth." And obviously, when you hear something like that, the question is, well, who gave him all authority? We know really the only one that could give him all authority was the Father, because God is the one who has the ability and the right to give all authority. I want you to hold your place there just for a moment, and I'm going to go over to Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1, because we find the incomparable Christ in chapter 1. And Paul will draw this out for the Colossians and bring to light this Jesus, this one who has all authority, who Paul will say he is above everything. He is above all creation. He is above all rule. Verse 15, he says he's the very image of the invisible God and the firstborn of all creation. For by him all things were created, both in the heavens and on earth. Notice what he says here. Visible, invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers. And notice, Paul even says, or authorities. That all authorities, he is over all things. And Paul says all things have been created through him and for him. And that he is, again, before all things. And in him, all things hold together. Matter of fact, we learn in other places the idea that by the word of his power, he upholds all things. So whatever Jesus says, he has authority. You see, God has given him all authority. And so Jesus said before he ascended to the Father, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Because I have all authority, here's what I say. He told his disciples, go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I've commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always, even until the end of the age. Most important thing there, he says, three things go and make. The verb is make, right? Everything modifies that. This is what's important. He tells his followers, go into all the world and make disciples. Make followers of me. And he says there's two. It's amazing how simple our Lord makes it. We know that it's for us today when we look at what it means to make a disciple. There's a lot to that. But he said two things are involved here. Let's make it real simple for you. He says, you go and you baptize the nations, people. Number one, and then you teach the people about me. Right? Some say, well, you know, this is given to the apostles and so on. But notice what he says. He says, you go and teach them to observe everything I've commanded you, which means the cycle is never going to end. Disciple making wasn't just for the apostles or the early disciples. Because he told them, you go and you make disciples, and then you teach them to observe everything that I've commanded you. So they're going to continue on what I have taught you, to do the same thing, to make followers of me, not fans. Because you see, Jesus is saying, I don't want fans. I'm not interested in fans. I'm interested in people who want to follow me. So he told them, go and make disciples. And that's what discipleship is. It's about following Jesus. It's the idea of the rabbi, right? Jesus was a rabbi, a teacher. Whoever followed the rabbi wanted to imitate and be just like the rabbi. They were his disciples. They were his follower. And that's what Jesus is saying, I want you to be. You know, as I thought about this and I was reflecting on my own life, I thought about how this works with our theme for this year. Building relationships from the inside out. Starting with us in here, right? In ourselves and amongst our own family. And then going out into the world, into our community, our workplaces, our life, and bringing Jesus out there. Because you see, discipleship is relationship. Show me somebody who has made a disciple, and I'll show you a relationship. We typically don't go and knock on someone's door and say, I want to tell you about Jesus. Here's what you got to do. They say, okay, I'll be there in a minute. there's a relationship usually that is formed, because discipleship is relationship. So let me ask the question again, are we a fan of Jesus or a follower of Jesus? Now, some of you are Rockies fans. I'm going to pray for you. I love baseball too. I love sports. You know that. Rockies had their opening day, right, on the 8th, wasn't it? It was Friday. And I didn't watch the game, but they lost. They have some good new players, but that seems to be a streak for the Rockies to lose. And hopefully this year they'll get a little bit better. But it was opening day, and I heard this idea in a lesson, and I've also read it through various books and things that I've studied. But this idea of opening day, as there's opening day in baseball, there was an opening day for the early disciples, the church. Go over in Acts chapter 2. We know the day of Pentecost was really opening day for the people of God. That was when the church all began. Remember, the Spirit came down upon them. They spoke in tongues. And from that point in Jerusalem, they spread all throughout the known world and they made disciples. They went out with the Great Commission, baptizing in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching others to observe everything, not that they commanded, but that God commanded through His Word, through Jesus. And so in Acts chapter 2, we find opening day. Remember, there's probably a group gathered about like this, maybe a few more. Remember, Peter gets up in Acts 2, and he begins to proclaim, and he says, therefore, verse 36, let all the house of Israel know for certain that God has made him both Lord and Christ. He's the Messiah. He's the King. God has set him there. This Jesus, as he's preaching, this Jesus whom you crucified. Now, what would you think if somebody said that to you? It's because of you that he is crucified. Well, we learn in the text that they were pierced or cut to the heart. They were brokenhearted over it. And they asked, well, men and brethren, greatest question ever asked. What do we do? Lord, what do we do? Peter, what do we do? What can we do about this mess that we are in now? Well, he tells them, verse 38. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And then he says, the promise is for you and your children, and then those who are all far off, as many as the Lord our God will call to himself. But skip down to verse 40, Acts chapter 2. This was opening day. And with many other words, he solemnly testified, kept on exhorting them, saying, be saved from this perverse generation. So then those who had received his word, the word of God, the word of Jesus, and were baptized, and that day there were added about 3,000 souls added to the kingdom, to the church. And notice this verse. We're going to spend a few minutes on this. And they were continually devoting themselves. Continually devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. Here's the early followers of Jesus, the disciples. I love this passage of scripture here. There's so much in it. And it's amazing when you look at their devotion and verse 42 focuses on three things. Notice that they were continually devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching, to the Word of God, right? To the teaching of the Scriptures. They didn't devote themselves just on opening day. They continually devoted themselves. And then it says they continually devoted themselves to the fellowship. So notice, they devoted themselves continually to each other. to their relationship. They knew, the early followers, that Christianity was not just about them. It was about the church. It was about one another, the family of God, a place where we go and come, and a people that we come to who will love us, who will encourage us, who will teach us and give us hope. And we'll do the same for them. And they continually devoted themselves to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Now, there is the idea of a common meal that they shared together. And they would call this at times the breaking of bread, just having a meal. But I think in this verse here, I think he's talking specifically to their communing together the Lord's Supper. And the reason I say that is because of the definite article that's there, the. He says, notice, the breaking of bread. It's something specific. It's something very important to them. And that's what they continually devoted themselves to. Continual devotion develops us as followers or disciples of Jesus. Do you know that your continual devotion to this setting will help develop you as a follower? God knew that. That's why he said, you need to be together. It's not so you can just say, well, I put in my time, right? As you've heard it said, I punched my clock, made sure I did everything okay for the week. That's not what this is about. This setting helps develop us. You see, we were brought out of the world into the family of God. We come together each week. We encourage one another. We remember our Lord's death until he comes. We leave this place. And what's our duty? We want to go out and be an influence to where we can bring others into the family. That's what it is to make a disciple. What is the difference? Another question. What is the difference in a fan and a follower? Now, you can come up with some things here, and this isn't a perfect metaphor, okay? There isn't a perfect example here. But here's one thing that I thought about this week. A follower is formed. A fan is not. A follower is formed, but a fan is not. You see, a fan will stay put. A fan will sit there. They will be satisfied with just observing. They'll be satisfied with just watching. We're fans, right? We've watched games. We understand this analogy. I think about the games that I've watched. I think about the times I've watched the Broncos, and I have given Peyton Manning my 2 cents. I am a fan, but I'm not in the game. I'm not the one who is struggling with an opposing team coming at me who weighs 10 times as much as I do and wants to crush me. Peyton had to deal with that. I've also told the coaches many times as a fan what they need to be doing because they're not doing it right. You know what I mean. That's what a fan does. They cheer from the sidelines when things are going well. And when things aren't going very well, they can quickly boo their team. And we've all done that before. That's what it means to be a fan. But a follower's in the game. A disciple is active. They're following their master. They follow their leader. They follow their teacher. And in our case, that is Jesus. You see, we didn't enter the church as the people of God. We didn't enter into the kingdom. Just hear this. I think this is really important. We didn't enter the kingdom just to be a forgiven people. Did everybody get that? Our purpose is not to just make sure I'm forgiven and that I'm saved. That's not all of Christianity. That's where it began. But we're to move on from that, church. Our focus should not be every week that I want to just make sure that I'm forgiven. There's so much more to Christianity. There is such a gap from forgiven to being perfected in the image of Jesus. That's why I said, a fan is not formed, a follower. A follower is formed. into the very image, into the very likeness of Jesus. What did Paul say to the Philippians when he wrote that affectionate letter? Chapter 1, verse 6, Paul said, I'm confident of this very thing, that he who began a good work in you, who began a good work in them? Who began a good work in you and I? The Lord, God. He who began a good work in you will perfect it until the day of Christ. You hear the promise? He promises he will perfect it. I love what Paul said to the Galatians in churches of Galatia in chapter 4, verse 19. He said, my children with whom I'm again in labor. That word there is, think of labor, hard, strenuous effort. He said, my children with whom I am again in labor until Christ is formed in you. That was Paul's whole mission with them. I want Jesus to be formed in you, not just to be a people who are forgiven by the grace of God. That's where it begins. But you are to be formed into the very image and likeness of your master, Jesus. That's why you're a disciple. Secondly, a follower does all they can to be, and this just continues the point, to be like their master. A fan will do as little as possible. Or just what they have to do, whatever that is. I don't know. I want you to consider for a minute, and I'm not picking on us. This is Christianity in America. This is not just among the churches of Christ. Go talk to any denomination, any professed believers in Jesus, and talk to their leadership, and they at some level will agree with this very thing about Christianity in America today. What it means in many people's minds to be a disciple or to be a Christian. And it sounds something like this. Attend a little. You know, be there when you can be there. Every now and then, when you feel like it. Also, the idea of just giving a little bit. When you have something left over, then you give it to the Lord. It's not your first fruits. And cheer on the people a little bit. In other words, give them encouragement when you know there's somebody that needs encouragement. And that's Christianity. But that's not Christianity. Because you see, the early disciples in chapter 2, verse 42, continually devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. And we do that here. We're doing it this morning. And we do it throughout our lives because we want to be, and we are, followers of Jesus. You see, early Christians came together to grow and give rather than to sit and get. And there's a difference. I want to grow, and I want to give whatever it is that I am becoming for Jesus. Whatever it is. Rather than just sit and get whatever I can get. And sometimes that's the mentality of us or of other Christians. That the reason I'm coming here on Sunday morning is I'm going to just sit and get. But I don't think that's what God really wanted and intended for our time together and for our lives as disciples. See, discipleship, being a follower of Jesus, is not doing as little as I can, but it's being more than I've ever dreamed that I could ever be. Because you see, again, we're created in the image of Jesus, and we're growing in that. That's more than you and I can even dream or fathom. You should not be, Christian, the same person you were when you came to Jesus. You should not be. Not even close to that. Well, unless you were baptized yesterday, right? I mean, we ought to be maturing and growing. You see, it's radical transformation that God is after. Rather than just settling for a little bit of religion, we are a people who seek the kingdom. We're seeking the kingdom of God, and we're seeking His righteousness. Reminds me of what Paul said in Colossians 1, 13 and 14. For you were delivered from the domain of darkness, transferred into the kingdom of His beloved Son. Right? And so there we see it. We were brought out of the world by the hope and through the blood of Jesus into the light of Jesus. And then we go and we do that same thing. We try to bring others into the kingdom as well. And how do we do that? The Great Commission. Baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Continue to teach them to observe everything that the Lord has commanded. And he said, I promise to be with you until the end of the age. Am I a fan of Jesus? Or am I a follower of Jesus? Our Lord Jesus said in John 8:32 that if you continue in my word, that just means continue. You continue to live according to my word as my followers, then you are truly disciples of mine and you will know the truth. And he says the truth will set you free. It is truth of Jesus that sets us free. If we can help you as a leadership here today, or anybody here today, as a member of this church, the family in Windsor, if we can help you be a disciple or a follower of Jesus, we want to do that. Not for our own sake, but for the Lord's sake and for yours. And why wait? Jesus said, listen, be baptized into the name of the Father. Of course, you need to believe in him, and I don't think you would be here this morning if you didn't believe in him. But he said, be baptized in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. It's not hard. You can do it. You can be a follower of Jesus. And if we can help you with that, maybe you've just been sitting back and you've been acting more like a fan. And only you know that. But maybe we can encourage you there. Maybe we can pray for you. Maybe we can encourage you with scripture. Whatever it is, if you need something this morning to encourage you, would you come as we stand, as we sing the invitation song?